Boy, we are so glad to be here. I think it's been more than a year, probably, since we were here last. And a lot of things have changed in our lives, my wife and Kelly and my life, over the past year. And so there are several things that I want to accomplish this morning, things that God has laid on my heart to share with you as a congregation. I must say, a congregation that we have grown to love and admire, and that's going to come out in things that I share as time goes on. One of the things that I did want to, one of the things on my to-do list today, I have a whole list of things, obviously, but I want to share a vision in terms of things that God has taken me through. As your elders were praying about what I'm going to share, they put a lot of pressure on me to make sure I share something that's going to be worth listening to. And boy, yeah. if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be there. What happened 2 months ago, roughly, well, actually, I'll even back up further than that. For those of you who don't know me, there are some new people here that have been here maybe less than a year, and we don't know you as well. I am actually Mark Stoughton's brother-in-law, not Denise's brother. No. So where is Denise? Oh, okay. Yes. And 2 months, well, okay, so I'll even backtrack further than that. So 16 years ago, we were led to plant a church with a pastor, Peter, from Swansea over to North Kingstown. And so we, Kelly and I, got in on ground zero in that church in North Kingstown. And we helped the pastor develop the church and kind of it grow. And we took it through its paces in terms of going from meeting in a middle school to meeting at a high school and to eventually buying a building and remodeling the building into what it is right now. That happened about 8 years ago. And I'm going to share that again as time goes on because I'm saying that for a reason. Well, about a year ago, God actually called us away from the church in North Kingstown to a church in Portsmouth. Now, the interesting thing that happened with that is we were living in Tiverton, going to a church in Swansea, which was about a 20-minute drive, and then God actually led us to be part of the church that I mentioned 16 years ago, which was in North Kingstown. So Tiverton to North Kingstown is about an hour's drive. So we had to kind of process, are we willing to drive the hour a couple or three times a week maybe? And what God kind of laid upon my heart is, you know, if people in this world, even today as we sit here speaking, are willing to suffer and die for the cause of Christ, I think I can drive an hour each way. Yeah, you know, get a cup of coffee and sip it on the way. That's really suffering. So it was a really kind of a no-brainer. We did the hour's drive for, I think, 7 years, two or three times a week sometimes. Then what happened is 10 years ago, God actually called us to move to North Kingstown. So now we're in North Kingstown. We're like 8 minutes away from the church instead of the hour that we were driving. And a year ago, he called us to Portsmouth. So now we're in North Kingstown. Now Portsmouth is back over near Tiverton. So now we're driving the other way about 40 minutes a day. I don't know what's going on with all this driving that's happening. But now the church in Portsmouth, it's actually called the Friends Church. It literally was a dead church. Like the membership had dropped to like 15 or 20 people. And God called us over there. We're not exactly sure how long we will be there. It's possible that I will pastor that church eventually. It might even happen this summer. We're not sure about that. God is definitely going to call some man to that position this summer. But that church was it's just in a mess. It literally was dying. And the people they haven't had a pastor for 2 or 3 years. They were without a pastor for 2 or 3 years. And they were filling the pulpit. That's actually how I got involved, just to fill the pulpit occasionally to do a message on a Sunday morning. And that was almost a year ago. I think the first time I spoke there was last May. And then that turned into me speaking a little bit more, and now they've kind of filled the pulpit out with an interim pastor. I won't get into all the details, but I believe that church is kind of up and coming now. And I'm going to share a little bit more with you about that as I kind of navigate through what I want to share with you about what's happening here. Because I think, obviously, you guys as a church are in a you're at the beginning of a building process. And God did some pretty amazing things at the church in North Kingstown when we went from meeting in the middle school to meeting in the high school to then buying. We actually bought a building and had to remodel the building. We didn't build a brand new structure like you guys are going to be doing. But it is unbelievable. So 2 months ago, in February, my sister was, where is she? She's with Lucy. Oh, there she is. she was actually out in Portsmouth, and she came to the church in Portsmouth 2 months ago when I was speaking the first Sunday of the month. And the message that I gave at the church in Portsmouth 2 months ago was kind of a message of vision. Like, just understand church in Portsmouth, not church in Connecticut here, that God is at work in this church in Portsmouth. And I kind of laid out some very concrete things that God has done in the church in Portsmouth to prove that he is here working. Be joyful. Be excited about that. God is working here. God is doing things in Portsmouth. And so after the message was over, Denise said, you need to come to Connecticut and share that message again. Now we'll see how much discernment she has, whether that's really true or not. And so that's kind of the goal. My first goal, one of my first goals is to pick on Cynthia. She sends me an email. Are you going to come up here after I'm done? Oh, so I get the mic last? Oh, that is so good. So she can't even respond. I get this email 3 days ago from Cynthia. And the email says something like this. Who in our church in Connecticut figures out and discerns who's going to be doing the messages? Like, they want you to come speak this coming Sunday or something like that? And I'm thinking, yeah, because we have this ongoing thing with us, you know. We just keep picking on each other. So I kind of responded back. I'm like, yeah, what is going on with the elders in that church? Don't they have any discernment at all? Well, ultimately, she just wanted a topic and the verses or whatever. So, okay, so I've checked that one off. I've picked on Cynthia. Second thing I want to do is give you a little bit of background where we're at now. For those of you who know us and know us well, we've made some pretty big changes in the past year of our lives. And then the third thing I want to relay to you as a church is what it should mean and hopefully what it should look like for you as a church to enter this building phase whenever that happens. Speaking with Mark, I'm a contractor as well. And so we're always talking shop. My wife actually works with me. We work together on the construction sites, hang sheetrock. We put up cabinets together in the church in Portsmouth that we've been attending for about 11 months now. And we actually made that our home church last November. We actually went there just when I was speaking for 3 or 4 months or whatever it was. And then God said, just get over there and invest full time in that body, whatever it needs. But one of the things that we're doing is we're actually remodeling some of the church sits here on a 5-acre lot or whatever. And the church was built in 1700. It's a beautiful, beautiful church. But right next to it is a parsonage. And so the parsonage needs a lot of work. So we're actually doing construction work in the parsonage, even one of the things that we're actually doing to help that church along. I lost my train of thought. Where was I going before I said that? What was it? Cabinets. Yeah, leave them now. Well, we're getting there eventually. Oh, we work together in construction. So Mark and I have been sharing about what's happening here. And you guys are kind of at a wait and see, I guess, where you're not really sure when you're going to start the building process because things kind of have to line up. So what I want to leave with you, what I'm going to share with you now is kind of what this should be looking like. What are some of the important things that God would want to see in this congregation, the body of Christ? What should it look like? And maybe more importantly, what it shouldn't be looking like. Because what's happening is you have 50 people and you might have 35 different ideas about what things should look like and how things should be done and what color the walls should be. And that can be a problem that you guys will need to address as it goes along. Another thing is this, and I like what my pastor in North Kingstown called this. You know, whenever you hear kind of things that you sit there, and I hope this happens today. I hope that some of the truth that I speak that God has laid on my heart to share with you resonates with you. I hope it stirs something within you and says, that's exactly what should be happening, because that's what God's word says, not because that's what Rick says. But what you don't want it to be is you don't want it to be a flash in the pan. You know, you go someplace and you hear something, you get all excited about hearing it. And you're like, yeah, that's what I need. That's what God wants me to hear. And by the time you close in prayer, you've lost it already almost. you guys have to decide, each one of you individually, that I, the things that God has asked me to share with you that resonate in your heart, that you go, this needs to be what happens in this church. You and only you can decide, am I going to make that stand the test of time? Or am I just going to let the emotion of it wane away and who really cares? So you, each individual, need to be responsible for that. So this is going to be a little bit of a challenging message, but I hope it's going to be fun as well. So in 1 Corinthians, starting chapter 1, starting in verse 10, I'm going to read three verses, 10 through 13. This is, well, and let me give you some background. Actually, I do want to give some background here. When do I have to end? Like 10:30? 11:30, I mean? 10:30. Cindy's, 10:30 would be fine, she says. Yeah, she's, I don't know. You guys, you need to be one person less. I love her to death. All kidding aside, I think she is awesome. We met playing croquet, and it just started, you know. So, at the point that God revealed to us that we will be attending the church in Portsmouth full time, and that I would be speaking more regularly potentially there, I said, God, I love to teach verse by verse. Before, when I was kind of sporadic, I was just doing topics over there, because I might speak once a month, maybe twice a month, maybe I'd go 6 weeks without speaking there. But as soon as I knew that I'd be speaking there more frequently, I said, God, I just love teaching verse by verse. To me, that just fits me like a glove. And so I said, God, what Bible book should I be teaching on? And he ultimately landed me in 1 Corinthians. Now, and I didn't even quite put the pieces together as to why he might be doing that, but it has been so awesome that I've been in 1 Corinthians in terms of what the church in Portsmouth needs when I'm speaking there. So what we need to understand, a couple little background things about the church in Corinth. It was a crazy, crazy unhealthy church. The church in Portsmouth is a very unhealthy church, as I stated before. It literally was almost a dead church. Ironically enough, this is all being taped, right? So I got to be careful what I say. I don't want to be gossiping, obviously. But God actually, in his almost miraculously, got rid of some of the problems in the church in Portsmouth. And then I'll just be honest with you, there were some problem people there that God had to kind of get out of the way so the church could begin to flourish again. So just understand, when Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, he's talking to a very unhealthy church. And just time and time again, Paul is just kind of lashing out at them. Like even the communion thing, when you talk about communion, Paul says, you got some people that are starving and other people are getting drunk. That shouldn't be that way. So it's been very good that I've been speaking through the book of 1 Corinthians at the church in Portsmouth. Now, I say all that to say this, that I am 100% convinced that this is a crazy healthy church. Like, you guys you probably have no idea how good you've got it here in terms of the leadership, the incredible elders that you have. They paid me to say that. No, the Pastor Michael, whom I love to death in Tansy, the strength of your elders, don't take that for granted. So understand, as I'm talking through this book in 1 Corinthians, I'm not speaking to you as an unhealthy church, but the principles are still here that I want to share with you. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the strength of this church at the end of the message. So please, God, give me the ability to organize my words. Here's what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 through 13. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no division among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? So what's the one key word there? What is the most important word in those three or four verses that I read? Bible study time. Let me have it. United. Unity, united. Whatever you would call that, yeah. Unity, unitedness is the core of the church. In fact, Paul says, interesting, he deepens this a little bit. Verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. That's pretty deep. No divisions, unity, be perfectly united in heart and in mind. Why did he say heart and mind? You know, we don't do a good job distinguishing the difference between the heart and the mind sometimes, but the heart is a deeper part of who we are. We actually talked about that in the Sunday school class this morning for a couple of minutes, and I won't take the time to flesh that out, but Paul is really saying here, be completely 100% united. Mark and I were sharing something yesterday when we went to visit my dad. We were sitting out waiting for my sister, who took a half hour because she was yakking, doing really nothing but making us wait. And, this is being taped. And we were talking about different, again, you know, being in the construction field and what I experienced in the church in North Kingstown when we went through that building project. And Mark made a comment when we were talking a little bit about this. Mark, what did you say? I don't care what color, I don't care if the carpet's purple in the new church. He says, that's not my baby. Mark's the construction kind of guy. It's funny because I said when we were remodeling the building 8 years ago, I said, I don't care if we have yellow carpet and blue walls as long as God is going to meet there and we just don't become divided over stupid little things like the color of a wall. God can use a gray wall with white teeth. Just don't let it happen. Now, we need to be able to express our opinions on things. We don't walk around going, I don't want to say anything. No, there's a way that we can share what we want to do. We should. We all have different tastes and all that stuff. But we can, see, there's a very big difference between saying, hey, you know what? We disagree on something. I think the wall should be white. You think they should be green. You know, okay. That's a big difference than having a disagreeable spirit. You don't want to have a disagreeable spirit where I'm not getting my way, so I'm going to pick up my toys and go home. See, that's exactly what Paul is speaking against there. So if the walls are orange and the carpet is red, but God is there, who cares? Now, please don't have orange walls and red carpet or whatever I said. That's not going to happen. You guys have way too much taste for that. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what's in your heart. Like, maybe I'm not even saying it, but I'm really pretty mad. What do you think about that color? Oh, I think it's wonderful. And if you could see your heart, you'd be like, they didn't use my color. I'm not going to let them know I'm not happy, but I'm going to stop giving as much offering maybe. We have to fight against that. That's not what God wants. Paul says to the church in Corinth, verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you. Paul then goes on to say again, be perfectly united in mind and in thought. That's such an important aspect. The church in North Kingstown, I'm not even looking at my notes. I think I'm doing okay. The church in North Kingstown, I explained a couple of minutes ago that 16 years ago we started the church plant. For 2 or 3 years we met in the middle school. We outgrew the middle school, moved to the high school, and ultimately, this property became available. And so we pursued this property. What I'm going to do now over the next couple of minutes, in fact, look at verse, still in 1 Corinthians, look at verse 9, I think. No. Chapter 2, verse 9. I'm sorry, it is verse 10. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. This is Paul referring back to an Old Testament verse. I forget where the verse is. It's probably in your footnotes. But check this out. Check what Paul says here. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Paul says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Isn't that a great verse? I'm going to ask you this question. What do you think about? What's the first thing you think about when I read that verse? Bible study time. Let me have it. Really? Seriously? It's unfathomable. What else? Denise? Heaven. See, most people, this is, by the way, we scheduled this. Most people, when you hear that verse, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of the man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, we often think of heaven. And we should think of heaven, because I think that's a very real thing. Did I lose my thing? Now, where's my guy? I think I lost this side of it. I'll keep talking. Did it come off?
Yeah, not yet.
When I put my glasses off and on. These things are the bane of my existence. I love the microphone lapel ones. So we sometimes think of heaven when we think of that verse because we know to a certain degree what heaven's going to be like and how wonderful it's going to be. But what I want to make us aware of is we can claim that verse here on earth. I mean, God has a plan for your life. What's that verse we like? Ephesians 2:10. I keep it around. I am so bad with addresses and phone numbers, so I always have to Bing things or Google search things, you know. Yeah, Ephesians 2:10. God has works prepared for us in eternity in advance. Imagine us as human beings being able to tap into the mind and the heart of God and be doing the things on this earth that he has prepared for us to do. Really? Like, he's got things prepared for us to be doing. The God of the universe who in 6 days spoke everything we see into existence. Well, not this building, but the whole universe into existence. We can plug into that and be a part of what he has determined in eternity past what our works are going to be to do. Talk about fulfilling. Talk about saying, what is my life worth? I can plug into the God of the universe and do what he's asking me to do. And so I'm going to explain now what happened. I actually have a list of things. I shared this with the church in Portsmouth 2 months ago, and this is part of what Denise heard. I have a list of things that happened during the construction process. It took about 9 months total at the church in North Kingstown. And I'm doing that to kind of give you a vision. This is what I experienced myself 8 years ago. And I was a pretty intricate part of a very intricate part of the church. I was an elder there since day one. And as a contractor, we were involved in the remodeling process. We took this old American Legion Hall. The basic footprint was 60 by 100. And then there was another 25 by 40 wing, which was a kitchen and some storage area. And we gutted it right down to the bare, it was a metal building, right down to the bare studs, right down to the bare framing, metal framing or whatever. It took us a year to get all the permits just to do all the work because of septic systems and sprinklers and gas lines and just everything that has to be involved, fire codes and stuff like that. So here's kind of the story that I want to share with you, and I'm sharing this to give you the sense that, oh my goodness, God is still at work in reality. So we recognize as a church, the name of the church is Living Hope Christian Church, still there obviously, we just haven't been there for a year about. So we recognize that we need to have our own space. You guys have recognized you need to have your own space. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a couple of minutes. So we begin to pursue looking at different options. We kind of figured we'd probably buy a building and maybe remodel it. We didn't necessarily think we were going to go brand new. So this American Legion Hall comes up for sale, and we put a bid in on it. And we lose the bid to this school that, I guess, outbid us or whatever in terms of not even bidding necessarily, but we just didn't get the sale. And we thought, okay, well, God doesn't want us here. We'll move on. And then it turns out that the school that bought the building couldn't use the building. So it goes, now it's they didn't buy the building. The American Legion Hall still owns the building. Shortly thereafter, I mean very shortly thereafter, something happened within the American Legion Hall which created a lawsuit. I think it was actually a sexual harassment suit. And so they were forced to sell the building in order to pay off that lawsuit. So we actually, Pastor Pete and myself and one or two other guys, went to the town hall, whatever it was, and we actually won the bid. It was actually just an oral bidding thing, almost like an auction. We actually won the bid to buy the building for less than we offered for the building 6 months before or whatever. So we're already ahead of the game financially because of how that turn of events went. Well, now we get into the whole phase of blueprints. You guys know about blueprints. We get into the phase of engineering, septic systems, and sprinkler heads and all the stuff that has to happen. Well, here's what God did at that church. This is the list. Don't even try to read it. So, we have in our church an architect who did all the blueprints for ZIP. We have in our church an engineer who did all the engineering for ZIP. We didn't know any of this when we bought the building, by the way. We have a contractor in our church who was in the right situation that he was able to spend 9 months working in that building for free. He devoted 9 months free in that building to kind of organize things. We had a guy in the church that donated a $25,000 skylight. You know the big skylights that you see in some of these big glass things? Gave us the skylight. We had a guy that was then going to our church that probably worked 2 or 3 weeks welding. We had to do all this. We had to bring that building up to the new codes. And in Rhode Island, we have the hurricane codes, unlike Connecticut. Mike and I talk about that. It would have been much easier in Connecticut to do what we did. But in Rhode Island, that building had to come up to all these hurricane codes. So we had a crazy amount of welding to do to bring that church up to. We had a guy in the church. He's not even in the church anymore, but he did all the welding for free. What else? I'm going to knock my earpiece off again. We had an electrician in the church who did all the wiring for free. Now, what we did is we had work days, so we had people volunteering, and this guy's not in there by himself doing it, but like he did all the fire alarm stuff too. We had a painter that actually came into the church who through a friend of another guy that went to the church, and he painted the whole place for free. And he bought a lot of the material as well. What we would do is we would have, and then every Saturday, and sometimes at nights during the week, there's more on there, but I don't want to spend too much time doing that. We would have these work days where on a Saturday, there might be 30, 35 people there working on the building. And I'm going to tell you, we were part of the work days, and we would have 30 or 35 people there on a Saturday, and the spirit there was so sweet. Like everybody kind of kept busy. The contractor was kind of organizing things. And there was no tension. There was no competition. It was just, let me say that the spirit of the church in North Kingstown was exactly what Paul is saying. There was complete unity and thought in mind. We were just moving as one forward. And I'm telling you that God can crazy blessed that unity. We didn't do any pledge drives. We didn't do any of that. We just, and I'm not saying you don't have pledge drives, because God may do things differently here. If you guys decide to have a pledge drive, that's great, because that's what I think Malachi did for the wall, or you know, I may be getting that wrong, but it's certainly not unbiblical to have a pledge drive. We just decided not to do that, and we all agreed, let's not do that. You guys might say, let's have a pledge drive, and you all agree, and you just have a pledge, that's great, but just agree on it. You can't have, I don't think we should. Well, I think you have to find a way to be united in heart and mind. The unity that we had at the church in North Kingstown, and the fact is I think that God blessed that unity with all these, and there's more on that list that I shared, saved that church at least $400,000 to $500,000. And we didn't know any of that was going to happen when we were buying the building. Now, what may happen in your life as a church, you may find, I'm going to say it this way, to the degree that you guys stay unified and that there's no division, you just watch what God can do. And it may be through a pledge drive. That's what I'm saying. Please don't hear me say, well, the church in North Kingstown didn't have a pledge drive, so I guess we should. No. However God leads you is the way God's going to lead you. But just be completely united. And for any of you, when it crops up, this little spirit of, I don't like the way that happened, or, boy, you have to just deal with that. Don't let it go unchecked. Don't let that little root of bitterness build up. Deal with it. And if you have to go and express it to someone else, don't let those things build. Just get it behind you. Now, the church in Portsmouth, I'm going to share with you a couple of things that happened in the church in Portsmouth, and then I'll kind of close things out. So this church, like I said, was really dying. It was in tough shape. The doors almost closed. I mean, it was that close to the doors closing. And then God brought this guy, Rick Lauder, over, because he used to be the pastor there, and he kind of came into the church in Portsmouth. This is before we actually got there. So God provided this guy, Rick, to kind of come in and help hold things together. And then God provided this other guy, Steve. This guy, Steve, was a good teacher. He came in and he kind of helped hold things together a little bit. And then God called Kelly and I over there, And we kind of ministered in different ways. We did some teaching, some Sunday school. Kelly's getting very involved in some women's ministries and teaching our two grandkids Sunday school. And then God brings this guy Randy from the main headquarters in, and things just start happening. And people were getting a vision. God got some of the people that really needed to get out of there, out of there. I don't think there's anybody here that fits that bill. But in that church there was, unfortunately. And then God brought in an associate pastor, Pastor Jim, who again started filling some of the gaps. So I kind of showed the church in Portsmouth that just look what God's doing. This isn't coincidence. God does not want this church to die. He's making things happen. Well, another interesting thing that happened is one of the things that had to happen in the parsonage was a brand new kitchen, because by the time we got there, the kitchen was kind of pretty much demoed. So we had to buy a new kitchen. So I have my own kitchen guy who I've dealt with for years, again, being in business. So I've done quite a few kitchens. So I drew a blueprint of the kitchen and put the cabinets in with it where I think they made sense. And we go to see my friend, my kitchen guy, Mike, in Cranston. I set up an appointment because you don't usually get to see him if you don't set up an appointment. And Kelly and I sat down and I said, listen, Mike, here's why we're here. This guy has the gift of giving, I believe. So I said to Mike, Mike, listen, we are now no longer the church in North Kingstown. It's a good thing. It's not like we left mad. They gave us their blessing to go and be in the church in Portsmouth. I said, but it's a dying church. It's really hurting financially, but we need to do some work on the parsonage. And I've got a kitchen plan here that I want to give you. And we want to buy a kitchen from you, Mike, but you've been very generous to us in the past. If you can't do anything, that's fine. If things aren't as good as they used to be, that's fine, but we're going to buy a kitchen from you. Here's the plans. Without even hesitating, he says, I got two kitchens in the warehouse. You can have either one of them. Like a $7,000 or an $8,000 kitchen he gave us. And it just about perfectly fit the space that we had to fill. God is at work. And so people there, their eyes lit up. It's like, God is doing something. Boy, without a vision, the people will perish. God is at work. And that church is starting to become healthy. God is doing things, and the people are recognizing that he's doing things. It's kind of amazing how when I shared about God bringing all these people in, people were excited. But when I mentioned getting a $7,000 kitchen for free, they're like, oh, you know. But it's just such a practical thing. Well, now here we are in Connecticut in 2016. And as I've stated before, you guys are in that process. I'm going to read a couple more verses here. Stay in 1 Corinthians, but go over to chapter 3. I shared this with the church in Portsmouth as well. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 4. This is Paul being repetitious, but obviously he's never repetitious for no reason. He always has a reason for saying what he's saying. Paul is saying here, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? So the reason that you or I will know that we're one of the ways that we can recognize worldliness in us is what Paul just said there. When there's quarreling, when there's bickering, when there's a lack of unity, when there's divisions in the church. Paul, actually, if you looked in verse 2, and again, I'm teaching through 1 Corinthians verse by verse, and I'm actually just about finished with chapter 3 now. But above that, Paul talks about being worldly or being spiritual. He uses two words. He uses psuche, and he uses pneuma. Pneuma and psuche. Pneuma means being filled with the Spirit, being spiritually sighted. Psuche means being very worldly, very fleshly. There, I've done my Greek for the day. So obviously we want to be pneuma. We want to be spiritually. We want to be thinking with God. We want to be thinking the way God thinks. We want unity. We want there to be no division. We want to be one church moving forward in the same motion. But when we start not thinking that way, when we begin to get our little our feathers ruffled, and when we don't get what we want, and when we weren't happy about it, that's just a sign of suke, worldliness. We need to recognize that in us. Because guess what? We all start out completely suke. At the moment of birth, we're born with a sin nature. So we're going to be fleshly. That's what it means. We have the sin nature. But Paul is admonishing the church in Corinth because they stayed fleshly. And the way that he revealed to them that they stayed fleshly is because of the division and the party spirit. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, because of there not being unity. One of the things that came to me this morning, who doesn't love the story of David and Goliath? We're actually doing that on Wednesday nights in the Portsmouth Church. I was watching a quick little clip yesterday morning on Facebook. It's kind of ironic because I thought I would be using this little clip that I watched on Facebook this coming Wednesday when I'm sharing in the Middletown Bible study. But as I was in a Sunday school class this morning, I grabbed my notes and I wrote it down that in 1 Samuel when Paul is, Paul, right? In 1 Samuel when he's talking about the story of David and Goliath, I won't go through the whole story because I don't have time, but David is a shepherd. And his father says, take some of these provisions and go and give it to your brothers and bring back a good report as to what's happening. So David leaves someone else to take care of the sheep. He takes these provisions and he goes over. I have no idea how far that was that he had to travel. That's unimportant for the story right now. And when he gets there, I'm assuming for the first time that he's heard this, he hears Goliath coming out and challenging the army of Israel. And the Israelites are just standing there letting it happen. And the God's word says that happened 40 days. 40 days, Goliath would come out and challenge the army of Israel. And for 40 days, the Israelites stood there with their knees knocking, unafraid. I mean, too afraid to do anything. So here comes little David, taking care of sheep. He walks in to wherever it is and he hears that. And he goes, what's being done about this? And everybody starts, well, the king says, if any man does this, and he'll give him his daughter, and they don't have to pay taxes. And oh, taxes? No. And then here's what David's word, and depending what translation you have, here's the wording that this guy used yesterday. Is there nobody here that's willing to take up that cause? And the answer was no, there wasn't, other than David, because they were just too afraid. What a great statement. Is there nobody here to take up that cause? What I want to encourage you in is this. I stated this before, and I'm going to try to tie a few things together here. I am, for lack of a better term, I don't write this out word for word. I am thoroughly impressed with this body of believers. You guys have wonderful leadership. You have a very competent pastor and his wife, Michael and Tansy. You've got elders that just rise above what an elder can be sometimes. You've got capable people here. You don't see that all the time in churches. You guys are to be commended. And I can say that because you're the opposite of the church in Corinth. You guys are an incredibly healthy church, with very capable leaders and a very capable pastor and just everything about this church. I love coming back here. How long have you guys been a church? 20 years in June. 20 years in June. You've been a church for 20 years. How long have you been meeting here?
Everything but 6 months ago.
So almost a full 20 years. So here you are. At this point in time, April of 2016, a church with incredibly competent leadership, spiritually guided leadership, a clearly called pastor teacher being cramped in a 40 or 50 seat congregation, And you know what? That's great because that's what God has called you to until now. Because I'm letting you guys know that this is what I believe. And I'm only going to say this because I believe that you guys as a church have discerned this correctly. So if you guys say it's time for us to build a church, and I'm believing, I totally agree with that, it's time for you guys to build a church. Because I think that because of the leadership and the quality of people in this church, the impact that you could have in the world is going to be unbelievable when you can start seating more than 40 or 50 people. And so what cause are you going to get involved in? You've got a cause here to work toward. You guys can band together and go, God is going to use us to make this happen. This is a cause that is worth, I don't even want to say fighting for, because God forbid you fight for it. This is a cause that's worth living for. This may be one of those, what was that verse again? Ephesians 2:10. This could be one of those Ephesians 2:10 that God has ordained works for you to do that he set up in eternity past. For you guys as 40 or 50 people to band together, to be completely united, to say God has kept us in this small setting for almost 20 years. It's time to blossom. You got this incredibly wonderful piece of property that we drove by a couple times ago, and I'm like, wow, seriously, what a great location. Watch what God can do in this assembly in the building process. Stay unified. Don't be divided. All the things that I've said before, work at being one moving forward. Don't be petty. Don't be all those little things. Some of the lesson, I wish the windows, don't get involved in that. Whoever's deciding on the windows, let them decide on the windows and praise God. I don't care if I like them. They're windows. Don't get sidetracked with all that stuff. Move forward. I'm telling you, the leadership and the people in this church and the way that this church, God can say, I'm going to put you in this building that holds how many people? A couple hundred? 100, that's 120 initially, yeah. 120, you guys can, I don't think it's going to be long before you pack those walls out. Because God can use this type of assembly. But now you as a unit, the church, think about the church. God's idea, the only organization that's going to stand the test of time. Walmart's going to die eventually. Not soon enough for me. I'm not a Walmart guy. But the church will always be. It's God's idea for you to get together and to work as one toward this goal, this cause that you can get involved in. For whoever can get out there on that Saturday, go out. And if you just stand there and fellowship with something, well, don't do that. Work. We didn't let anybody stand there when we on that. Just start getting in that. Not everybody can do that. You can't be all things to all men at all times. You have to find out what your niche is going to be in that building. Who wants lunch? That blessed my heart. Of course we want lunch. She says, count me in. She might not be able to move brush, but she can make a lunch and be thrilled doing it. What is your pot going to be? Who's a painter? Whatever it is. He may not provide all. I can't believe that list that God did in North Kingstown. I mean, I still get blown away by it. And I didn't even tell you everything. I mean, it all happened after the fact. See, Mark and I were talking this morning, and Kelly, we went over and had some coffee over there. And we were talking about, like, I am such a ducks in a row kind of guy. Do not mess with my, Mark's like, I'm so the opposite. I'm like, isn't that funny how God does that? I am such a duck, don't mess with my ducks. I don't like it. I don't even like it when God does it, and I'm learning, my wife's pretty balanced in that. But none of these things happened at the beginning. We didn't know what was going to happen after we bought the building. So my ducks went in a row. But everybody in that church, all the people in that leadership that were making these decisions were 100%, this is what we do. This is what we do. Unity, unitedness, move forward together. That is the mark of a church that God can bless. I don't know what he's going to do. He may not do any. Believe me, I'm not a prosperity kind of guy. I'm not going to say if you be unit, watch what. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to look a lot better than if you're divided and if you're just biting at each other's back, which again, I don't think is going to happen here. But I can't wait to hear the stories that come out of whenever you guys start this building. I don't know if it's going to be 6 months, a year, whatever it's going to be. But you now, as individuals, have the opportunity to look at the cause, go before God, decide how does he want me to invest in that cause in a practical way. It could be giving, it could be praying, it could be working, making lunch. I'll be there for lunch, by the way, even if I don't. I'll get there at 1 o'clock. That's Saturday. Whatever, you need to know what your niche is going to be. You need to figure that out for yourself. I know Mark is a builder, and I'm going to tell you this. I've said this before, and I don't say this out of a sense of false humility. I mean, some of you guys don't know me that well. I've been a builder for 40 years or whatever. Like, he's a builder, I'm kind of a builder. You have no idea how blessed you are to have a guy like that in your congregation that can lead that project. I mean, this guy is the builder of builders. Like, he's just like, good enough is not good enough for him. You know, he likes it done. He's just, you guys are so fortunate to have this. He paid me to say that. So he's buying lunch, I think, for us. And that's just one aspect of it. So that's going to be his baby, obviously, you know, doing the physical part of it. But pick up, and again, like I said before, whatever you're sensing right now, I can see on your face that this is hitting some good spots with you guys. Don't let that be the flash in the pan that I talked about before. Right now, you and only you can say, boy, the Holy Spirit was really showing me, and the Holy Spirit was really kind of not convicting, but convincing me that this is right. This is what we need to be hearing. I can't let Satan steal that away when we start having coffee even or whatever. Somehow, in the way that you do this, in the way that I would do this, is I have to determine in my heart. We saw that in Sunday school this morning, that we have to determine these things in our heart. Somehow you have to determine, I am not going to let this be a flash in the pan. I'm going to write a note to myself. I'm going to, whatever it is, this cannot leave me, because this is something that God wanted me to hear. And this is so important that I have to make sure that I don't let this slip away. This momentum, this excitement that I may be experiencing now, you have to find a way to keep that. And I'm going to be heading back to Rhode Island today. I can't be much help with that. but just let God do what God is going to do. And someone, make a journal, because I think it's going to be a great ride for you guys. Let's pray. Father, you are such a great and awesome God. In eternity past, you knew that this church would be entering into buying a piece of property. No surprise to you. You already know how this is all going to work out. You know all the details of what needs to happen, how it should happen, when it should happen. You're a powerful God that is unlimited in his ability, in his love, and his provision. Father, I pray right now over this congregation that the things that you revealed to me to share would just burn deep within their hearts and their minds. That when, as individuals, we see ourselves becoming suke, fleshly, because we don't get our way, that we just immediately take action in our own minds with that. We don't let it simmer. We deal with it. We take that thought captive unto Christ. Father, I pray that this church would be 100% unified, and that the strength of that unity, as you honor that and as you bless that, would be evident to each one here, evident to their families, and certainly to the community, Father. I can only imagine the impact that this local assembly can have in Roxbury and the surrounding towns. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man the things that you can do to those who love you. Father, this church loves you, and I pray your blessing on them. Father, help them to remember the things that were shared today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.